webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for the 12th of March 2015 from the home of redemptionism, which loves every train of thought emanating from freedom. We're coming to you from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, where we'd like to say with Mark Twain, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they have been fooled. And here from Houston, Texas, is the founder and president of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. G'day, Mike. How you doing?
G'day, Barris. I am doing very well. I think spring is beginning to broach our borders. If I hear anybody talk about a drought in Texas this year, I'm going to scream. I'm telling you. I'm going to become unstable. Or guess maybe it's just my instability is going to show up. I don't know that I would be becoming unstable.
You are unstable. There. There, it's out now in the public domain. There's no taking it back.
Everybody knows now for the second time.
I thought it was the seventh.
You're counting. I'm not.
Hey, mate, I got a message from Dina Morgan, and she said, I heard myself on the podcast, and I heard my name. Aww. On the podcast. Yeah. She said, is there any way you can announce the dates on the podcast when you're recording? I hear some real good messages on the radio stream, and it will be easy to go back to the messages with a date. I hope that is not too much to ask. Now, before you answer that, I am going to answer it. And, Dina, this is in the hands of Marcel Ross. Marcel Ross is on our Friends of Mike Williams Facebook page, and you're able to contact him there. The reason that's in his hands is although there's a link to the radio stream on gospelrevolution.com, he is the one who orders what goes on there. He's the one who decides what goes on and what doesn't go on, and he's the one who says whether or not there can be a date on there. Now, however, he does this in addition to holding down a job and living life as life is lived in the Netherlands. So whether or not he's got the time to do that, I'm just not sure. So what we're going to do is this. Marcel, why don't you get in touch with us using, you know you can get in touch with me, and let us know what we can do, if anything, because it may not fit into the way that the radio broadcasts are streamed. Mike, did you have anything to add?
I have no clue how to do what she asked to do, so I am glad you knew. I didn't even understand the question. So,
Dina, we will wait to hear back from Marcel because he's the man with the plan. So yeah, thank you so much for asking that, because I'm sure that if you've wondered this, I'm sure other people have wondered it too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. And thanks, Dina. My goodness, and it's always fun to hear from you guys, and especially if your name gets mentioned. Goodness gracious, you should do like Dina and let us know. Hey, I heard my name.
I go through a whole podcast without my name mentioned, except derogatorily by you.
Maybe we should just start throwing out names of different people. This week, we are going to feature and take a gospel revolutionary and just say, you got to listen to see whether or not it was you.
Today's broadcast brought to you by the letter B and the number 4.
Gospel Revolution.
Hello, this is Marcel Roos from the 24/7 Gospel Revolution radio station from the Netherlands. Don't forget to tune in to myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution, where we stream the gospel 24/7 just for you. This is Marcel Roos, and I'm proud to be a part of the gospel revolution.
Hey, Mike, you had a demon-busting, devil-crushing ministry there. You had the whole thing, didn't you?
I did so good, there are no more devils left.
Man.
They're all gone.
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Don't tell me I got to go back in business again.
You're going to tell me in a second when you answer this question. Do you believe that there is a devil of vegetables?
A DV.
A DV. A UDV, an ungodly devil of vegetables. Yes or no? It's not a hard question, Mr. Williams.
Devil of vegetables.
Did you ever come over a devil of vegetables when you were in the demon crushing business?
Maybe with some vegetarians, yeah.
You sick puppy. You've been off your meds again, haven't you?
No, I have to say I never run across a demon of vegetables, even in my demonology years.
Really?
Yeah, we had a demon of everything.
Well, you just didn't get out much, did you?
No, not around the vegetables, I didn't.
You should have actually learned at the knee of our dear friend, bonehead of the day, Pat Robertson.
Oh, no. What is that? What is Brother Pat done now?
Funny you should ask. He says...
It's amazing. We've mentioned this before. God gave you and me as human beings authority. He gave us dominion over everything on this earth, over all the animals, all the snakes, all the birds, all the plants, all the vegetables. Cocaine is a product of a vegetable. Alcohol is a product of a vegetable. Marijuana is a vegetable. And yet people are enslaved to vegetables. And you were made in the image of God. God made you in His image to reign and rule with Him. He gave you incredible authority. Why would you become a slave to a vegetable? Why? Why would you do it? God Almighty can deliver you from the bondage of your addiction, your slavery to vegetables. He can set you free. God says, listen, just give me your hand, reach out and take my hand, and I'll lift you out of this bondage to vegetables. Now, if you want that, right now, I want you to bow your head and pray with me this very day. Pray these words, Jesus, you know how I have been a slave to vegetables, but Lord, I know you died to set me free. And so at this moment, I turn away from vegetables and I take your salvation. And from this moment on, Lord, I am yours. Mm-hmm. And thank you that you are mine. Thank you, Lord. I receive your salvation in Jesus' name. Amen.
A demon of vegetables. Well, see, now when you got a demon, you got to get to the root. So the people that are responsible for all alcoholism, according to Pat's doctrine, when you get to the root of this, the person, there is a person in every family that is responsible for all alcoholics, all people addicted to cannabis and other vegetables. And that is your mama, because who was it that always said, eat your vegetables?
Oh, man, on this basis, a vegetarian would need an exorcist.
Exactly. Remember, you couldn't even see. Oh, man, Pat, you've really gotten into this really, really good. Just think of how a demonic force that got built inside of people because the mama said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you can't have your dessert. So, see, there's a whole system of performance and works. And to where that people are just bound to these vegetables. This wisdom is profoundly something.
I knew a person once who had an unhealthy spiritual relationship with a cauliflower.
I'm asking no questions.
Bonehead. Mike, here is our second bonehead of the day, and now frankly, we have never had anyone on the show who garnered two Bonehead of the Day awards, but I suspect that today we may. And if you agree that this next bit deserves another Bonehead of the Day for the same person, then I think we're going to have to make Pat Robertson the patron saint of morons or boneheads.
A double bonehead.
A double bonehead. Mm-hmm. There you go. The patron saint of boneheads and a double bonehead all in the same show. Let's see if we can pull this off. This is from Right Wing Watch. I know it sounds a bit odd, but this is actually, I've got the video for it, and we're going to play it. On today's 700 Club, this is posted on 5-3-2015, for you non-Americans. For Americans, it's 3-5-2015. On today's 700 Club, Pat Robertson took a question from a viewer who sought his advice on whether she and her husband should attend their gay child's upcoming wedding, which Robertson predictably urged them not to do. The viewer said that while one parent was adamant about not attending because it's against the Lord's plan, the other felt that they should attend in order to show support and love for their child. In the past, Robertson has been very clear that Christians should not attend gay weddings, and he repeated that advice today. You don't agree with it. You have got to make a stand there and be a witness to it, Robertson said. By your attendance at the ceremony, you are agreeing with it. Dang. I mean, just as an aside, Mike, wouldn't that mean that by living in America, I agree with American? No.
Well, that's why you live here, right?
I live here because of a woman, mate. That'll get you every time.
How American of you.
Yeah, who you sleep with, I tell you what, it makes a big difference. Which is, I guess, what this story's about when you think about it. He said, Pat Robertson continued, I just wouldn't go. Of course you wouldn't, Pat. You're a bonehead.
By your attendance at the ceremony, you were agreeing. We used to say, you know, anybody who opposes this, let him speak or forever hold his peace and all that kind of thing. I just wouldn't go. I would tell your child, I love you, but I cannot condone this. And, you know, we always love you, but I don't condone this activity, and so, you know, I'm here if you need me. Mm-hmm. Be a unity, and I would say don't go.
I would tell your child I love you, but, you know, when everyone says but, Michael,
yes,
everything that just went before that but is now down the toilet. I love you, but I cannot condone this. We will always love you, but I just don't condone this activity. Robertson, hey, you wanted to be president of the USA once, Pat Robertson, but you didn't agree with the people on the other side of the aisle. What a bonehead. Robertson urged the parents to be unified in opposition and not to allow the parent who wished to attend the wedding to do so. Not to allow the... be unified. Hey, don't you let your spouse do this. That's love. Because, he says, that indicates that your child's conduct is splitting your marriage. I guess.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe this BS? I mean, I have never heard a bigger crock of frog's droppings in my life, Michael.
Your child's actions are dividing your marriage. It's not you that's dividing your marriage because you refuse to attend with the parent who is supportive. Wow. Talk about passing. Oh, my gosh. Passing the responsibility for your cell phone to someone else.
And yet, you know, this is the same guy who told the grandma who could not afford to keep sending money to 700 Club to support it. This is the same guy who told her to have a yard sale and get a job. She was 75 or something, wasn't she? Get a job, you lazy bag. Get a job so you can keep sending us money.
This is Audrey, who says, my husband and I are in our 80s and have been tithing for many years. And our tithe is over 10%. Our old car just broke down and we had to borrow money to fix it. We both need dental work, but we can't afford it. I constantly have to use our credit card to pay for medical needs. We have no unforgiveness in our lives. What could we be doing wrong?
Well, there are many ways of making money, even at 80 years old. You know, you can get on the telephone and people are hiring.
We're going to have a Pat Robertson day, maybe down the road a bit, but we're just going to have a "This is what Christianity on steroids really sounds like." So our double bonehead of the day and the patron saint of all boneheads, Mr. Pat Robertson, I'm going to write to the 700 Club, Michael, and I'm going to ask them if he would become the patron saint of boneheads for the Gospel Revolution.
I'm sure if you put saint before it, he will become it.
I'm sure he already thinks he is. You can find other stories. Pat Robertson says that Muslim neighbors want to kill you. That's a great story. I mean, this is rightwingwatch.org, and I actually, it looks like they don't do anything else except laugh at Pat Robertson. But anyway, there you go, family. Go there and have a look. Put it up on our Facebook page so that everyone can see what we have on our hands here.
Goodness gracious.
My daddy's a priest in the Vatican. My sister sells freedom from sin. My mummy sells prophetic words from the Lord, and my, how the money rolls in. Rolls in, rolls in. Oh my, how the money rolls in, rolls in. Rolls in, rolls in. Oh my, how the money rolls in. It rolls in, rolls in, rolls. Everybody now, my, how the money rolls in. It rolls in, yeah. Oh.
All they care about is getting money, 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 money. Even retail stores give people more respect than that. I don't understand why we've become so commercialized with religion. What does this have to do with God?
How the money rolls in.
Mike, have you ever heard of a thing called evidence?
It used to exist, yes. I think that that's kind of how we used to do things, is that you had to have some evidence.
Well, did you know that Muslims are now infiltrating the very highest standards in our government, the very highest positions? And look, it doesn't matter if you know. Franklin knows. Franklin is our second bonehead of the day, I suspect. But let me just play what another news organization played of Franklin. And the reason I'm playing somebody else's news clippings is because we could play this and you would see how foolish it is to make inane claims without any evidence. But Franklin, I would like you to know, dear son of Billy Graham, that the world thinks you're an idiot.
Mm.
And they laugh at the idiocy with which you seem to be able to come up with this day after day. Michael, have a listen to this.
Okay.
Franklin Graham, now he runs the Billy Graham
Foundation. He's the kid.
He's the kid, yeah. Well, he's not a kid anymore.
No, he's an older guy, but he's like, they just happened, the same thing happened with Pat Robertson's kid, Jimmy Swaggart's kid, and now this guy's kid. This is bullcrap.
Yeah.
These missionary types or these evangelical types, these Bible thumpers, they were given, you know, supposedly God damn near came down and said, you've got to preach. You've got to preach. Now, how do their kids get involved? Is it a hand-me-down? Is it all of a sudden they're apprentices? I mean, this is obviously these guys are running a racket and the kids, I'll take over the family business.
Hell yeah.
Sorry to interject, but I don't know about those earlier pastors that these guys mentioned, but I do know about Marilyn Hickey and her daughter, Robert Schuller and his son, John Osteen and Joel Osteen, the blessedly rotund Mr. Hagee and his boy, is it Matthew, Kenneth Copeland and John.
Then he's on O'Reilly, and this guy is full of it, but really in a nutty way.
Reverend Graham, why do you think the world will not unite to stop ISIS?
First, Bill, I think it's important for Muslims that are watching this program know that we love them and pray for them, and I want Muslims everywhere to know that God loves them and he sent his son from heaven to this earth, Jesus Christ, for them.
I thought that was the best way.
They didn't exist when Jesus Christ was down here. It was, okay.
But God sent his son down to save them.
Okay.
Yeah. And Bill, the one of the problems that we have in the West is that our governments, especially in Washington, has been infiltrated by Muslims who are advising the White House, who I think are part of the problem.
I love this.
Well, that's a good point.
This is very good. Now, certainly Department of Homeland Security, and we've discussed this, and there were the Senatorial Commission or Committee sent a letter saying, hold on a second, you've got all of these people who are members of proven front groups for terrorist funding who are advising and have access to Department of Homeland Security systems. I remember that. But now he's saying there's Muslims everywhere and the Muslims are they're doing everything. And Bill O'Reilly, give him credit, asked the right question.
And we see this also in Western Europe. They have gotten into the halls of power.
It's true. They, the evil Muslims, have gotten into the halls of power.
Now, when you say Muslims, give me some names in Washington. I don't know any Muslim advisors to President Obama. Do you have any names?
I can get those for you, Bill.
boo, 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 boo.
Yeah. But I do know that they are there, and I've been told
they're there. It's real. I've seen him. I've been told.
Wait, by a number of people that they influence. I'm not saying they're sitting next to the president whispering in his ear, but they are in the halls and they are speaking.
Well,
to
they do have a lobby here, and those groups do lobby. But
Muslims in the hall. All right.
Oh my. Well, here we go again. Franklin, dear Franklin. I kind of like his name. That's kind of a unique name, but this is off the chain. Number one, I don't know if people know it or not, but even if we did have Muslims in certain positions in our government, which I'm hoping that we have a few. They live here, so there should be some representation. But I don't know if somebody told Franklin that one person can't set policy and make laws. In this form of government, you got to get, you're lucky to get a handful of people together enough to get anything done right now in our government, regardless of whose side you happen to be on. But when fear has worked for you for generation after generation after generation, I mean, why should Franklin try to remake the wheel, just use the same thing? But now, see, the problem is now is the information age. Now, 15.
I don't think Franklin's caught up with the fact that
he doesn't know what Google is. We're going to Google you, Franklin. We're going to Google you.
Yep, you can send us to hell, but we're going to Google you.
Yes, you're going to get Googled.
Not only is a person condemned to hell, they are thrown into hell, Bill.
Well, we're going to get damned, but you're going to get Googled.
Exactly.
I like that. You know what struck me in that story was, without dualism, without the concept that you're there and I'm here and you're not like me, you wear a towel around your head and you therefore must be an inferior human. Remember what we said last week about heretics? They're barely human, if human at all. And because I don't like you, because my Jesus is bigger than your Jesus, my God's bigger than your God, my understanding of doctrine's better than your understanding of doctrine. Without dualism, this could never, ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
Without dualism, Franklin couldn't go live on air and make these inane comments that, so what? So what if Muslims are in the highest seats of office? Now, I've heard it gets so tiresome. Obama is a Muslim and he's expanding and enforcing the Muslim or Islamic role in the USA. Well, if that's true, you should be able to prove it. And not make slurs. Now, frankly, I'm not an Obama man. But if the best you can do is make slurs and cast aspersions based on no evidence, and when you're asked for the evidence, you can't provide it, you ought to hang your bloody head in shame. Christian, I don't think so. Well, actually, no. Christian, yes, I think you must be.
Yeah. You know, was that what Franklin was saying then? Was that the... That has to be the person he was talking about then, I suppose. And then he didn't have the guts to say it was Obama that he was talking about. I don't know.
I just hit the wrong button on my chair and the thing just dropped me into the bowels of hell.
I saw you from chest up, and suddenly I saw you from nose up. It's like
I'm underwater. Yeah, and the reason he's saying this is because, see, his daddy used to service every president since God knows when.
Yeah.
Every president respected his daddy because his daddy had one thing going for him, integrity. With Robert Shuler, we've heard him say, I've changed my mind.
Yeah.
I think that God is much wider, much bigger than we give him credit for. Now, Franklin sees his daddy having, taking photo opportunities with every darn president during his career. Poor old Franklin, he got snubbed by Mr. Obama because he made these silly Islamic comments. For those of our listeners who are very politically minded, I'm not saying that it's true or it's false. I'm just pointing out how stupid you can be when you are a Christian leader. This guy gets asked to every prayer, breakfast and everything, but Obama decided that he would rescind his invitation to prayer breakfasts. Daddy gets in the Oval Office, son gets repulsed.
Yeah, well, when you make statements, and this is, I think that this is where this went to, I think any president after 9/11 would have rejected Franklin Graham's attendance to anything because of his statements about 9/11, in that he said that only 20% of the people in that tower were born again. 10 to 20% of them were born again. And I heard him say it myself on live TV. He said the rest of them are burning in hell.
And not only is a person condemned to hell, they are thrown into hell, Bill.
So this was in the immediate days after 9/11. So there was nobody... Nobody was going to touch Franklin Graham on any high political office, Democrat or Republican, Muslim or Christian. you talk about everybody running for the doors when this man steps in. I mean, he was successful. He was almost as successful as me at getting everybody from every religion to run for the doors, but not quite as successful, but for wholly different reasons, that's for sure. But, I was watching that morning that Franklin made that incredible declaration, and that is the thing that put him outside of any president ever inviting this man to anything official whatsoever. Goodness gracious.
So far in our stories today, we have we've had three stories, and in every single one, if dualism was not the official religion of Christianity, and if you have any doubts about that, in Christianity, God is out there, you are down here,
yeah,
and that terrorist is across there, and we're all separate. We're not together. We're not one. We are all separate, and by God, if I use the rules to my advantage, then I can put you down and claim God's on my side. Without dualism, this would never exist. None of these three stories would have ever occurred. Here's our next story today, Michael, and it's back to our patron saint of boneheads, and our double bonehead award winner is about to become, I think... I don't think we've ever had this on the show before. This is amazing. A triple bonehead winner today. Let's have a look. So I came across, in researching our other stories, I came across this story that was headed up, and it comes out of the New York Times quite a few years ago. And it goes, Pat Robertson, a Republican, is the latest presidential candidate to run afoul of a torpedo that has already sunk two Democratic candidacies and shaken another. Truth. I've never had this kind of precision demanded of me before, Mr. Robertson complained in an interview with the Washington Post, thus raising several questions. For one, why does he say precision instead of truth? This evangelist-turned-politician now admits that his wedding date was August 27, 1954, not March 22, as he previously said. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how pissed your wife would be at you if you...
Poor Dee Dee.
Did you know Dee Dee?
No, I only saw her once or twice appear on a program, and believe me, she was not the person that they wanted out there, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's not the only correction he's had to make. Others concern his education, his military record, his membership on a bank's board of directors, even his communications with God. The imprecision about his wedding date seems to have been an all-too-human effort to conceal what the Wall Street Journal disclosed this week, that the Robertsons' first child was born 10 weeks after their wedding date. You know, a man that'll lie about this, he'll lie about other crap too, won't he, mate?
No, it's not lying. It's not being precise.
Of course, sorry. Yeah, not being precise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't precise.
Now, this is the New York Times writing this, and it goes on to say the imprecision, still, since all this happened before Mr. Robertson's religious conversion, precision should have made his life story an even stronger testament to the power of his faith. And if, as Mr. Robertson says, the date wasn't a big deal, that's all the more reason for him to have told the whole truth in the first place. This guy, when he ran for president, lied outright about his own wedding date. It was only bonehead up to now. I think we've got to invent a whole new area. Lying bonehead? Yeah.
Well, what I want to call it, you can't put the air. And you cannot air that.
There is.
I always leave everything to you, but I'm that was.
This man, family, is the face of the 700 Club, and the 700 Club is the face of CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network. Now, here's my question. If this is BS, what else is BS?
Well, this is true, and, you know, when you start looking at the issue of dualism, again, like you said, Bears, if you want to have a perfect picture of dualism, all you have to do is take a piece of paper and begin to tear it down the middle. And when you start to tear it down the middle, realize you're going to have to keep tearing till it goes all the way to the bottom. When you see a division between God and man, you have to tear that completely to the bottom. And everything that you encounter is going to create a us and them mentality. From the moment that you have a concept in your mind that God's out there and we're down here, from there on, you don't have the ability to think of being one with anybody because it is an adversarial relationship all the way down. This is where the rubber meets the road with dualism. You see, this mentality is in our society and has been ingrained in us from many hundreds of years ago. Now, I remember when I was beginning to get the concept of us being one, and the term unity began to be a byword for me. And so as I started looking at some of this, there was a couple of things. I remembered the verses that in the Old Testament, the prophecy about unity, and it would be like that unity was like the ointment that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard. So it gives this this whole projection that if unity starts at the head, then it flows down the entire body. And then Paul's admonition to keep the unity of the faith. And I remember reading that, Bears, 30 years ago, and everybody I was around was trying to create unity. There's something about true faith that has established unity. Faith has united us. Now, keep that. Keep the dualism out. Stop allowing your brain to be split down the middle, seeing each other as one group or the other, or God as separate from you, or you separate from God, or them separate from God, and you close to God. But keep the unity of the faith. Folks, this unity that we have, this oneness, as it is called, isn't something we have to pursue. We just have to keep it. It's here. It's done. We are going cross-grain to entertain statements like this from the people who preach dualism, and the two were picking on today, rightfully so, they deserve every bit of it, is Pat Robertson and Franklin Graham. But this is where dualism goes. It pollutes everything. Dualism pollutes everything. Everything. It pollutes your ability to be free of mind to invest. It pollutes the mind's ability to be free of making decisions about being in or out of a relationship. It takes away your choice. Let me tell you the one I watched this week that was just heartrending to me. This was right after the plane skidded off the landing strip at LaGuardia during the snowstorm this past week. All of the passengers survived. I'm sure it was a harrowing experience. But they found one guy to bring on one of the major news networks and to interview him. And when he came on and had this chipper smiley face, I knew that something was about to take place. So he went through this whole thing of how that when the plane came to a stop, he realized that God still had a plan for his life, that God had a purpose for him. That God is the one who writes the story, and the story wasn't over yet. And then he quoted his pastor's name and said, and my pastor, blah, 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 always says God's the one who's in charge of the end of the story. And, of course, then the next news event is about some girls that were kidnapped in Nigeria. And that they had found that some of them had been killed, some of them had not been killed. And it's like, so what? What are you going to tell these girls and their families that were killed? God, the story was over? God was finished? Yeah, 15-year-old girl, I think I'm done. Yeah, I think that's okay. See, and that's another place that dualism takes us, is this need to believe that there's a purpose and a plan for our lives individually. If we are one with God, then we should be the one purposing and planning our lives, not some other force outside of us. And you need to stop and see what this looks like when you stand up and make such audacious statements that your life was spared. And of course, this was a miracle that his life was spared, even though everyone on board lived. I mean, it's tough enough to break through the mentality. I thought we had a big job in breaking through the mentality that when one survives, that they call that a great intervention and miracle of God. But here, Barris, if you survive anything at all, it's a miracle. And it is validation. If you drive down the road and you don't get in a car wreck, that is validation that God still has a purpose for your life. The lunacy of this simply keeps us from thinking our way through anything. What is the unity of the faith? God and man has been unified. And what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I got a call from Mel Martin just a couple of weeks ago, and he left a message on my phone. He was talking about how that this just suddenly what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. I believe that's what he was commenting on, unless I've got two stories mixed up. But commenting on, oh my gosh, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Oh my gosh. You know, that what God had joined together, that had been fulfilled at the cross. This is not a verse you quote at a marriage ceremony. This marriage has already taken place. When I say that this is not about marriage, we're taking that from Paul. When Paul started teaching about marriage, we get halfway through his, or all the way through his teaching about a man and a wife and the two becoming one. And suddenly he says, but I'm not talking about a man and wife. I'm talking about Christ and the church. So Paul knew that the manifestation of marriage was fulfilled at the cross. Anything that you read about marriage, biblical marriage, scriptural marriage, is one of those things that was set up to be a type and shadow of the cross. And this declaration of what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, according to Paul, is about Christ and the church. So what God has joined together, let no man bring dualism to again.
The latest videos from the Gospel Revolution? You need to.
If you're wondering why I'm not on too many PowerCasts, because I'm spending too much time on YouTube and not watching it. I'm performing videos on YouTube. And if you have not seen one of those videos, you need to go to our video channel. Just log into YouTube and type in Gospel Revolution 1, all one word, Gospel Revolution and the numeral 1. Or you can link to it from our homepage on our website, gospelrevolution.com. There's a link to our YouTube channel. So, everybody, stay in touch with us in every way. Subscribe to our newsletters and listen to our podcasts and watch our videos on YouTube. And we'll see you everywhere.
Send a short text message or fax it from your home. Did you put it in a billboard, make a little sign, email or do Facebook, anyway is fine. Gotta get out the gospel. Gotta get out the gospel. GospelRevolution.com.
Now, Michael, I loved what I heard you teach once, where that in the ancient Israeli code of law, a woman could not ask a man to marry, the wife could not divorce the husband.
Yeah, Bears, that teaching I did many years ago on marriage and divorce, showing that both marriage and divorce also were a type and shadow. It's just very simple right there in front of us, actually. But because of dualistic thinking, we don't see them. Not only, I think, was it strictly up to the bridegroom to do the asking, or to the male to do the asking, but I think it was his father's choice for him. He did all of the asking, but the best I remember, it was the father who decided who his son's bride would be. And but it certainly was not the bride's choice. Well, she never had a choice in the matter. That's what we call an arranged marriage. And a true arranged marriage, neither the bride nor the bridegroom have the choice. And it is, it's the guy with the shotgun. In the hills of Tennessee, it's the guy with the shotgun that's, that has made the decision as to who would be married. But indeed, it has been the father who prearranged this marriage. This was a prearranged marriage, and that's why prearranged marriage was established, was really to give our brain a way to relate to this. Marriage has been fulfilled 2,000 years ago. Now, you can define what you've done as marriage. But if you believe that the day that you said, I do, is the day you and your spouse became one, you are wrong. You did not become one the day of your wedding. The first time you ever had sex did not make you one. You became one with your partner the same time you became one with everyone on this planet, in the marriage to include and fulfill all marriage. And your coming together, your marriage, your union was a picture of that. But don't lose the reality for the picture.
So what you are actually saying, Mike, is that every wedding that happens in any clan, any tribe, any nation, any country, is in itself a picture of what God has done with the human race.
Exactly.
Wow.
And also, as you follow that through, we can talk about divorce, because there's definitely divorce. But if you go back to scriptural divorce, there is not a single permission by law or by any other means for a woman to put away her spouse. Ever, go read them. Every single one of them says that a man can put away his wife or his spouse for this reason, and that reason. Never does it address the woman and say, and oh, by the way, ladies, if you need to put away your husband, these are the things that you can get rid of him for. It does not exist.
Now, you're talking about in the old Israeli law.
Yes.
Yep. So in this old Israeli code of law, which was requested by the Israelis and given by God, as the Bible records, the father arranged the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
The husband could divorce the wife.
Yep.
And the wife could never divorce the husband.
Never.
Well, what kind of picture is that? If that's a picture of God and Jesus and us, if that's a picture of being one, if that's a picture of oneism or unism, where is the security in that? Because, I mean, we all know Christians who believe that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. Isn't that the same as saying, well, the father, you know, can arrange the marriage, but the son can divorce the wife?
Yes, the husband does have the option to get out of this marriage between God and man. But here's the thing. We also have a promise from that same groom. And he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Wow.
Now, that's a statement straight out of a marriage, folks. I will never leave you or forsake you. So this marriage, which only the husband has a right to a divorce according to law, only the husband has a right to a divorce, but we've heard from the husband, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. These are very powerful, powerful gospel declarations in the book of the Gospel Revolution. It's like the ointment that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and spread all the way to the garment. And this unity, this union, starts at the head and goes throughout the body. We are not here, folks, trying to create unity in this planet. What a futile thing to do. We are not here. Please listen. For those of you in the Gospel Revolution, we are not here trying to create unity. We are here to keep the unity of the faith. We stand guard over a truth that is so powerful, that is so real, that all we can do is just keep the faith. Now, we don't keep the faith by telling you what to do to be a part of the faith. We keep the faith by simply declaring that the faith of God has united God and man together in a marriage that the bride has no choice to get out of. And the most important part of that equation is that the groom has given his word that he would never leave and he would never forsake. This powerful union that has taken place bypasses Arminianism and Calvinism and everything else on the face of the earth. It's obviously not Calvinism. It's obviously not Arminianism. It's neither one of them. Why do we go online and do this? We're keeping the unity of the faith. Right now, to my knowledge, you are listening to the only radio show dedicated on planet Earth to keeping the unity of the faith. Only one.
The difference between Calvinism, Arminianism, and Redemptionism is this. Calvinism teaches a God who could save the whole world, but doesn't really care to.
Mm-hmm.
Arminianism shows a God who really wants to save the whole world, but just ain't strong enough to, just isn't capable enough of doing it. Redemptionism believes in a God who wanted to save the whole world and did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And in fact, Bears, you and I were talking earlier this week, and you made this statement to me that Arminianism and Calvinism had given the world a false choice.
Oh, thank you. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, Calvinism and Arminianism and Catholicism are a trilemma. Not a dilemma, but a trilemma. Mm. We know that they're not the only options because the Eastern Orthodox Church is none of those. Armenian Church, none of those. Syrian Church, none of those. Egyptians, none of those. But it's presented to us Western Christians as if they're the only options.
Yeah.
Calvinism, which was a knee-jerk reaction to Catholicism. Catholicism, which was a fairly intelligent religion when you think about it as an entirely human religion that tries to do the right thing by most people. They don't want people really to burn in hell, so they invent purgatory and so forth. And then Arminianism. When you look at these, they're presented to modern religion as a trilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And not just as a trilemma, but as a false trilemma.
Yeah.
They are a false trilemma because redemptionism says that the whole of humanity is now one. There is no dual. If you look in Catholicism, Arminianism, and Calvinism, all you see is dualism. All you see is God's out there, we're down here. You're over there, you're not as good as me. Or if you're an Arminian, you end up saying, I wish that you could be as good as me, and God will make you as good as me if all you do is just say this magic prayer. Catholicism says you could be as good as me as long as you do the right traditional rituals. And Calvinism says, ah, to hell with you. We're okay. But what redemptionism teaches, Mike, is we are one.
Yeah.
The marriage is complete.
Yes. And now we are following Paul's instructions, and we are keeping the unity of the faith. Everybody who says that there's a division, we stand and look them straight in the face, whether it's the Franklin Grahams or the Pat Robertsons, any of the boneheads. Anybody that says there's a division, we are here as the only voice that I know of saying no. We are to keep the unity of the faith. You guys are still presenting this as a unity that is possible. This unity has already taken place, folks. The big job is done. The impossible has been accomplished. We have been united together. The whole gospel revolution is there to keep that, to keep the mind focused on this incredible revelation that this unity is there. We want it to spread around the world to let people know that our only effort here is to keep the unity of the faith. But the one thing we are going to do is speak up every time we hear someone announce that there's a division in the unity of the faith. There is no such thing.
We hear a lot today about apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers and preachers, but I'm just going to read out of Ephesians 4 where this concept of the unity of the faith is given to us. And he says, this is Paul writing, he says, and God gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In verse 25 he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbour. Now, that puts us in mind of we won't need to have rules because every man will speak to his neighbor about. So every man speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We're one.
Exactly.
Now, let's just go back to the apostles' business. If you hear apostles or prophets or evangelists or pastors or boneheads pretending to a position in which they are not coming to the unity of the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a perfect one, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and are lying, not speaking truth with his neighbor, because we are not members of one another, verse 25, what you're listening to is a bonehead, and what you're listening to is dualism. Because what Paul's talking about here is redemptionism. Paul is teaching the gospel of grace and peace and saying, we are one. And if there is any need for apostles, if there's any need for pastors or teachers or evangelists, this is the need for us to speak the truth, every man with his neighbor, because we're members one of another.
Mm-hmm. Read Ephesians 4:3, Barris.
Ephesians 4:3 reads, endeavoring or trying to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
Mm-hmm.
There is one body.
This is the conclusion of this. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that amazing?
One Lord, Jesus. One faith, his faith.
Yeah.
One baptism, his death on the cross and his rebirth. He was born again and us in him. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And in, you know, that last bit persuades me, this is Paul. One God and Father of you all, who is above all and through all and in you. You can just hear Paul's passion coming through there.
His euphoria begins.
Mm-hmm.
So this is this unity that is kept. And Paul makes a statement here. He says that keeping the unity of the Spirit in this one. And it's, we're not trying to create unity in the Spirit. We're keeping it. Why are we endeavoring to keep it? Because these facts exist. There is one body. There is one Spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Goodness gracious. That's certainly all-encompassing, for sure. And we're endeavoring to keep the faith and to keep the unity of the Spirit, as Paul has said here. But we endeavor to do this because of the pre-existing standard that is already here, very clearly laid out here in Ephesians chapter 4.
You know what that makes me want to do, don't you?
Jump up and down.
makes me want to read this. Oh, the depths of the riches above the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has ever been his counselor? Or who was first given to him that it should come back to him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Yes, Paul was an of, through, and to man, wasn't he?
Love it. Love it.
I always call that Paul's euphoria. He had this tendency to preach himself into a Pentecostal fit, we would have called it in our day.
You may be wondering what's going on. You heard what Michael said, is that right or wrong? Don't be shy now, pick up the phone, call. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution. Questions are the lifeblood flowing through the veins of the Gospel Revolution.
Last thing today, Michael, is in the WTF department.
Worlds that fly?
Absolutely. And they fly in the face of anything which is possibly sane. Here's a young girl, and this is in the WTF department, and the section is a full moon fundamentalists. And here is a young girl denied a birth certificate and a social security number by her fundamentalist parents. Puts out a video, and here's what she said.
My name is Alicia Faith Pennington, and I am a U.S. citizen by birth. However, I was born at home, and my parents neglected to file a birth certificate or a birth record of any kind. They also never got me a social security number. I was homeschooled my entire life, so I have no school records. I've also never been to the hospital, so I have no medical records. This leaves me with nothing to prove my identity or citizenship. I am now 19 years old, and I am unable to get a driver's license, get a job, go to college, get on a plane, get a bank account, or vote. I've contacted the Bureau of Vital Statistics, and they've affirmed that there's no record of my birth. So I wrote to the judge in the county that I was born and requested for a delayed birth certificate to be filed. He refused our documents because they were insufficient proof, but that's all the proof I have. My parents refused to help or sign anything to help me prove citizenship. I didn't pick this situation for myself. I just have to deal with the consequences, and I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to get out of this. I want to travel. I want to get an education. I want to just be a functioning American. But I can't until I can prove citizenship. If you've been through a similar situation or know anyone who can help, please contact me. My email is helpmeproveit@gmail.com.
And the beat goes on. And the beat goes on.
I mean, what kind of a bind is that? Full moon fundamentalism in the WTF department.
Bonehead of the day.
Could that happen without dualism?
May I say this was not an endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace and dualism to make sure that it has its full effect, has a punishing, devastating effect where the rubber meets the road. This is, folks, this is why we do what we do. Goodness.
Next week, we will be continuing on the 10 worst ideas religion has unleashed on the world. You'll notice that last week we included sin. You know, without dualism, sin could not exist.
Exactly. This is going to be a lot of fun going down through this list.
Oh, it is.
Listen in your office, in your car, or even your neighborhood bar. You can listen with your whole family.
When you're feeling down, or you got the case of the blues, why don't you listen to the Gospel Revolution?
And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Don't forget to visit www.onemikewilliams.com and get your copy of Mike's book, One, The Gospel According to Mike. Hardcover $27, paperback $16, and Kindle edition, get this, it's only $3. The Kindle edition is $3. You can download it onto your PC, and you can then download the Kindle app for your PC and from Amazon, and you can read it right there on your PC. You know, you, our listeners, are the real stars of this gospel revolution. You may be a virgin listener, or you may have been following the message for years, but if you're a virgin giver, we'd like to ask you to break the drought and call our office at area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeffrey. In fact, what the heck, just call that number and speak to Jeffrey anyway. He lounges about all day long in Florida there, teasing the alligators, doing nothing much else really at all, and just waits for your calls. So 321-220-4373, speak to Jeffrey about how you can join the amazing people who keep this gospel of grace and peace going out every week. A dollar a day is nothing to most people, but to us it makes all of the difference between business as usual and reaching so many more possible ears with the sounds of freedom. You want to leave a message for Mike or a question for him to answer? Dial area code 234-564-0971 and leave a voicemail. Our web address is www.gospelrevolution.com and on Facebook at Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. Thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands, all the gospel all the time is being broadcast 24/7 without any dates at myradiostream.com/gospelrevolution. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios in Nashville, Tennessee, the highly righteous GR Studios right here in Nashville, Tennessee.
And it's good night from Mike Williams right here in Houston, and especially to Dina Morgan, since she's the one we heard from this week. Dina, I hope you have a good week, and we love you and all the other listeners out there, supporters of the Gospel Revolution, and we appreciate each and every one of you in every way. Thank you so very much. We love you. Look forward to next time. Bye, Beres.
So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, join us again next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Mucho better.
This is Audrey, who says, my husband and I are in our 80s and have been tithing for many years. Our tithe is over 10%. Our old car just broke down and we had to borrow money to fix it. We both need dental work, but we can't afford it. I constantly have to use our credit card to pay for medical needs. We have no unforgiveness in our lives. What could we be doing wrong?
Well, there are many ways of making money, even at 80 years old. You can get on the telephone and people are hiring.
80-plus-year-old couple, broken car that they can't afford to fix, dental work that they can't afford to pay for that's not being done, charging their medical bills to a credit card, in part because they're now giving more than 10% of their income to their church. There's not even a senior discount from God that Pat Robertson can just make up in his fantasy world. You know what Pat Robertson should have told him, Lewis? Here's what you should do. The best way I know of for 80-plus-year-olds to make money is host a television show where you convince people that there's a magical, invisible being that's communicating through you, and that the right thing to do based on what that invisible being says is to send the TV host your money. Pat Robertson, who's in his 80s, has perfected that.
He is the master, and I'm not sure what kind of car he drives, but he probably doesn't drive at all. He probably has a driver. but that's one way to do it. But of course, it takes years to develop that whole thing.
It's amazing to me that Pat Robertson's program airs on channels that are supposedly family-oriented. I can think of nothing more cruel than telling an 80-year-old couple that they either need to get back to work, which was the other idea, have God help you figure out what jobs are available, get back to work, or sell your personal belongings, maybe some of which you hoped would stay in your family. I don't know. I mean, you have worked your whole life. But don't stop tithing in spite of the fact that your dental work is going undone. Amazing.
Praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm happy.
You can be happy too.
If you
praise the Lord and send me the money. That's what Jesus wants you to do.
Late one night while watching Columbo, I fell asleep till 3:15. When just like a vision, I thought I was dreaming. I heard the voice of a man on TV. He said,
praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm happy.
You can be happy too.
If you
praise the Lord and send me the money. That's what Jesus wants you to do.
I sit straight up and reach for my checkbook, trembling with guilt, took my big pen in hand. I wrote out the figures of 1 and 4 zeros, went out and mailed it with a note to that man, and I said,
praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. I surely want to be happy like you. Praise the Lord, I'm sending the money. That's what Jesus wants me to do.
I woke up late for work the next morning. I could not believe what I'd done. Wrote a hot check to Jesus for $10,000. My bank account only held 31. I got a second job at a gasoline station. I'm saving my money to pay what I owe. I don't get much sleep cause I stay up late watching all the folks on the Lord's TV show saying,
praise the Lord and send me the money.
I'm so happy.
You can be happy too. If you praise the Lord and send me the money, that's what Jesus wants you to do. Praise the Lord,
I'm sending the money.
Gospel Revolution.